Our first reading this morning's John 1, verses 1 to 9. Linda's going to read for us.
Okay. It's on page 1062 in our Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Amen.
I already mentioned this morning, through the Word, God made all things. Through the Word, God made both life and light. My version, which still says it's an NIV, so I'm not quite sure, it's one of those dual translations and footnotes and things. Mine says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And it's a struggle, isn't it? It's a struggle between the light and darkness. But we know, as I said earlier, the light is infinitely stronger than darkness. When you shine the light, there's no amount of darkness that can put it out. Other things can. You can decide to turn it off. But the darkness itself just flees away before the light. Even before Jesus' time, Isaiah said in Isaiah 9 verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And that prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus. And the verse is quoted in Matthew's gospel right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Because Jesus is that great light who brought light and life to those living in darkness. A light that dawned 2,000 years ago. Which begs a question, doesn't it? If light is stronger than darkness, and the light appeared 2,000 years ago, why is there any darkness left? Do you think? Everywhere we look should be light. Is that the case? Why, 2,000 years after the light came, are we still walking in darkness? Jesus said, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they've done has been done through God. People don't actually want the light. People don't want to think that they're doing evil. They don't want others to see their faults. They don't want the kind of change that living in the light brings. The majority of the world would prefer to turn the lights out and live in darkness. Even some of the religious people. There's a difference between religious people and followers of Christ. Just ask the Pharisees. Jesus challenged their status, their beliefs, their rituals, their motives. And he does the same today. Sometimes the light gets a little too close to comfort. Not just to people outside the church, but to people inside. Are you ready for Jesus to challenge what we do and why we do it? If we're more concerned about keeping the status quo, having things our own way, holding on to our position, looking good in front of others. That's not the life the light brings. The light shows what's been done. It shows our motives as well as our actions. We need to be willing to come out into the light and face the consequences. Otherwise, Jesus says, we're just living in darkness, fooling ourselves as much as fooling others. So the light, whatever a blessing it brings, is a challenge. And if it's a challenge to us inside the church, how much more of a challenge is it to the people outside? No wonder the world rejects it. Why is the world still in darkness with fear, anger, hatred, that even most of those in it don't like? Why are they still living like that when there's light to be had? Because they don't want the light. The Pharisees went as far as killing Jesus to try and put the light out. Do you know what happened? Pentecost. Tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They thought they'd killed the light from one man, but all he did was light a fire in 100. And they sparked a light in 3,000, and so it grows. So our next reading's from Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16.
Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16, page 969 on the Church Bible. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
I'm on. If we've come into the light and have Jesus living in our lives, the Holy Spirit living within us, we are the light of the world. There might be a lot of darkness, but there are also thousands of lights. So again, why is the world still dark? Peter, can I have the picture up, please? Because of this. How much is this church, which you can't even see on there, because it's too dark. Let's see what happens if I turn these lights off. There we go. Can we sort of see that? It's a church in the darkness. It's got its lights on. There's loads of light in there. If I want somewhere with light, that's the place to go. Is that how it works? The rest of it's still dark, but that's the place to go if I want the light. The light's shut up in a box. The lamp's put under a bowl, albeit a bowl with a few windows in. It's all right for the people inside. There's loads of light in there. Light to spare, probably. They're happy, they're having a great time in their comfy little box with all the other lights. What about the people outside? Well, we say, they're welcome in too. We pride ourselves on making everyone welcome. The light's here. Come in if you want the light. But what did I say a minute ago? People don't want the light. The world's in darkness. No one really likes that, but the light's scary. Especially a big bright light like that one. Makes my eyes water looking at that light in the darkness. I'm not going in there. What might that show up? In the dark, people can't see my scars. In the dark, people can't see that I need help. In the dark, people can't see where I've failed. You expect me to walk in there and show it to everyone? Yes, some people are desperate enough to come. Some are so fed up with the darkness, they'll give the light a try. But for most, coming into the light is not something they'd ever want to do. And shining away to ourselves in the box is not going to make the world any lighter. The only way to get light to the people outside that church is to take it out of the church. The big bright light in there is scary. This little dim one might just be manageable. And when my friends are used to this little dim one and see that it isn't judging them, they might be more inclined to meet some other little dim ones. And when they're happy with the light given off by a few, they might be happy with a bit more and a bit more until they are ready to step into this building. But they're not going to come in from the darkness into that light. I know some people who have visited churches before. Not for services, but for the history or touristy things. My friend went into a cathedral a few weeks ago and they come back and say, I went to a church and I didn't get burnt up. And they're only half joking. They knew lightning bolts weren't really going to come down from God and frazzle them if they stepped into a church. But being in the light brings the fear of judgment. And that fear can be bigger than people realise. Shutting the light in the box is not going to help. So what stops us from taking the light out? John's going to read us a third reading. And we'll see what Jesus has got to say about it, which is always a good always a good start.
The lamp of the body. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of the body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body is also full of darkness. See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of dark, it will be completely lighted as when the light of the lamp shines on you.
We should be full of light in this place. Our eyes are on God. Our body's full of light. That's how it works. The church is full of light, we're all shining, we worship together, we all feel good, we love and care and support each other, we can't believe that the brightness of this church isn't lighting up the community and drawing people in like moths to a flame. That's the idea, isn't it? Doesn't quite work like that. Quite apart from what I said about people not being drawn to the light, there's another problem. And that problem is we're humans. Anyone disagree with that? Are we all humans here? Yeah. We're sinful, impure, imperfect people. Our eyes are not always healthy. Our vision of God is clouded, even here. There are things we've done wrong during the week. There are things that have been done to us during the week. These things float in front of our eyes and stop us seeing God clearly. Over time, if we don't do anything about them, they can grow and eventually completely distort or prevent our vision. Jesus says, when your eyes are bad, your body is full of darkness. Even in this place, surrounded by the light, your body can be full of darkness. And if you can't shine in here, you can't shine outside. How are your eyes? I need glasses. And I can't do anything without them. Not even read. I can read about here. If your vision needs help, get help. Every day, I have to get up, I have to open my glasses case for help with my vision. Every day, I have to get up and open my Bible for help with my darkness. Every day, I have to pray to be full of light. That's every day. For some people, there's a bigger problem. Not everything can be solved by personal prayer and Bible reading. You may remember Mary recently had to have surgery on her eyes, and some of us need that. Some things creep up on us. We don't realise we have a problem. Some change overnight. Some we can deal with ourselves. Some we need help from others. Examine ourselves. Do we see God clearly? Or is our vision distorted by sin or pride or difficulty or unforgiveness? Is our body full of light, or is there darkness in any part of it? Do we need to ask for help to overcome the problem we're having with our eyes so we can be filled with light again? John wrote in 1 John 1, "This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin." We can be full of light. And when we are, when we're full of light and this place is full of light, we need to continue to be full of light when we leave it. When we walk out that door, are our eyes still good? Are they still fixed on God? Or do we take them off God and focus them on the world? Because when we focus on things other than God, our light begins to dim. Worries begin to creep in. Fear begins to creep in. Anger and hatred and unforgiveness begin to creep in. We have a row with the children before we even get home from church, and by Monday the light's all but gone. How are we supposed to shine in the darkness? Jesus says, "See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Keep your eyes on him." A word of caution. If we take our light out from under that bowl, if you go out there with your light shining, everyone will see it. That's the point. That's what Jesus says. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You go out there shining, everyone will see it. The people who like the darkness might turn away from it. That's why we don't do it. In church, in this country at least, it's safe to shine. Out there we risk rejection, ridicule, criticism. But the light isn't needed in here, it's needed out there. Here's where we come to help each other, to clear our eyes, to shine brighter, to ignite the flame so we can take it out into the darkness. Can I have the other picture up, please, Peter? See whether we can see this any better. This is what the church is meant to do. That's actually a picture of light pollution. That's what it's supposed to show. Where we can't see the darkness. There isn't as much darkness as people want because there's too much light pollution. Go and do that. The world doesn't want to come into the light. It's our job to take the light out to them. When the light shines in the darkness will not overcome it. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, "For God, who said, 'Let the light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Let's let our light shine. Let's pray. Lord, heal our eyes to see you clearly, so that your light can light our whole body and we might shine in the world for all to see. Give us courage and strength and just fill us with light. We pray for your people throughout the world, that they might bring your light into the darkness of every corner of the land. In Jesus' name. Amen.